Chapter 14, The Intrepid Secret. Quick, get it out, Kirsty skirled, hiding a blankie. But the boys was already leaning down to get their hands about the kist with just enough room to get their fingers around the bottom out. Okay, George, is to gotten it? Robbie asked, his head nearly by the ground as he leant for hour. Okay, 1, 2, 3. And with that, they hunched up the kist out of the hall and set it down up by the ground. There were a grain of store by the tapwood, but the site was fairly clean, the wood all bony and engraved with different shapes, with swirls of metal stuck all over it too. This was nae ordinary box. They sat and looked at it for a minute, but no for long, as six hands started trivelling all over it, hardly believing what they were finding, trying to find a way into it. The lid was fairly tight with nae obvious latch. "Who does it open?" Robbie asked, frustrated. "I'm no sure," George said. "There nae latch or lock up outside that I can see. It's fairly solid." He worked his hands all over the lid, seeing if there were anything they were missed, then down over the sides and the corners. There had to be something here, otherwise we'd have to pry it open. He tried to shift it round a bit, gripping the backward with his right hand and hauling it to him, when he felt his fingers sink into one of the boards of paper. They heard a metallic click, and a crack appeared around the lid of the kist. It was open. "Gee whiz," Robbie said. "Was you in a secret catch? It's opened it. Kirsty, hide the blankie here." The twa boys each put a hand up the lid and pennywise pushed it away for them, opening up the dark inside of the kist. The darkness turned to light as the reflection of gold and silver shone back at their faces, lighting up their inn. For a moment, none of them could say anything, and they could do nothing but gan at the open kist afore them. Kirsty was first to make a noise, for she could contain herself nae longer, but it was little mair as a squeak. The three of them slowly put their muddling hands out to touch the innards of the kist. I cannot believe it, Robbie started, running his fingers through a rogue of gold and silver coins, hearing the clunking noise as he scooped them up and let them fall out to his loof. "Neither can I," said George. "It's unbelievable." He was doing the same as Robbie, trailing his hand through it, picking 20 coins up and letting them fall. "Ha ha! I just cannae get my head around this. We're rich. I've never seen gold and silver afore, and noo there a great kist out lying afore we're in. And we're fun it. It surely belongs to us." "That's amazing," said Kirsty. They were that taken up by what they were fun, they forgot a' about the twa men, Carl and Malcolm. But that soon altered when they heard a muffled douche coming from further up the tunnel, the bit they weren't aboon in, the bit between them and the ha. Robbie, George and Kirsty's delight turned into panic when they heard the noise. They suddenly minded that they weren't the only ones after the treasure and that the twa men wasn't far away. "Oh no," Robbie said, lowering his voice again. "The men is at the tunnel too." Kirsty buried her head in her hands. "What are we going to do?" George hearkened. Robbie snuckered after Blankie. They were in the black dark. "Kirsty, get a pister." "Shh," Robbie said, as he ogled through the pretty opening that led back into the tunnel. He scouted round the corner and away up the tunnel a piece. He saw the flashes of a blankie and heard the muffled echoes of twa men speaking. They were still a bit away, but seemed to be trying to shift something that was blocking their way. They were trying to kick it free. Robbie smoothed back to the other twa, no able to see them away with the darkness. "Listen," he started, thinking as he spoke. "They're a piece up the tunnel, but they're making their way down, so we had to get out, and fast." "What about the treasure?" George's voice came out of the darkness by Robbie's right-hand side. "We'll have to take it with us. We cannae leave it for them to find." "I dinna ken fu we'll get it out. That's a braw way." "Come on, let's just ging," Kirsty's whisper came from the left. "We dinna ken what they might do to us if they catch us. I hate this." "Why do we not try and block up the tunnel?" Robbie asked. "If we can stall them for a bit, we might have a chance of winning out. Even if we dunna, then at least we're up at the cave side of the tunnel and we can still win away." George and Kirsty thought it was worth a go, although Kirsty was thinking she would rather just wind the horse. They were going to be in a nyoch bither as it was without getting catched beyond men. What can we block the tunnel with? George said. We don't hay anything. Well, we hay the ladder, said Robbie, and the oars out of the boat. We might be able to do something with that. Come on, let's get what we can, quick. They trifled their way out of the piri room and back into the tunnel. It felt a lot bigger now that they couldn't see where they were going. Robbie was at the front and felt the way take a pretty kink to the side like it was a bit of way in. Looking ahead him, he couldn't see the light that fed Carl and Malcolm's blinky, so he thought it safe to snick on his end, and right away they saw how far they were from the opening. They groped their way farther along, careful not to ding their heads up the roof as they made their escape. Once they went where they were left their ladder and the tunnel dropped to the seaward end of the cave, they could speak without hearken. Okay, Robbie said, this is what I think we should do. Kirsty, do king down the ladder and wait up at the beach. But first, tack the oars out of the boat and pass them up to Wiz. Me and George will haul the ladder up and try and block the tunnel on by the pretty room where the kist is. He looked up at the roof of the cave. We should be able to pass a rope through yon iron ring of the roof, and we can lower the kist down to the beach, then jump down ourselves. That's not that far. They agreed this plan. Kirsty outplied that she didn't hate to get back at the tunnel, especially with twa men chasing them. She nipped down the ladder and was back in nae time with the oars. She passed them up one at a time, while George got the rope threaded through the metal ring of the roof and paid out a new rope the wreck down to the beach. He hankered up the rest of it and laid it up on the floor of the tunnel. With the oars up, Robbie and George hunched the ladder up and set it down pennywise, trying not to make our muckle soon wet. It was a twa-piece ladder, and they found the pins to get it apart, separating the twa bits. They were all set. Robbie lay up on his belly at the top of the hole and spoke down to his sister. Okay, Kirsty, do bite up at the beach. We'll no be lang. Don't again anywhere. Fine, she said. I'll be here, but for heaven's sake, come out of yon men get our claws. George and Robbie took e half of the ladder apiece, and dragging it o'er each of them, they set off back up the tunnel, hearing the noise of the men further up, still dunting away at whatever it was that was in their way. When they went near the pretty bend of the tunnel, Robbie brought up and turned to George. What why are we going to do this without putting on the blinky? It's as black dark as anything can be in here. There nae why we could block it off without seeing what we're doing ourselves. George thought there were only one thing for it. Will Robbie, he said, picking up his leather, we'll have to make sure we're quicker as the twa men. He yogged the blinky out of Robbie's hand and set off further up the tunnel, past the way into the room where the kist was. He heard a roar coming down the tunnel from in by him. Hey, who's that? One of them roared, his blinky sheening right at George's face and picking up Robbie as he joined him. I don't believe it, Malk. It's those kids from before, Deadrin said. Then his voice getting louder. Hey, you, clear off out of here. We're coming after you, and when we catch you, we'll break your legs like twigs. They were obviously hearing a baff winning over the blockage of the tunnel. One of them was gotten watered up in something, and the Deadrin was trying to free his foot. This gave George and Robbie a new time to get the twa bits of the ladder jammed in the gaps of the tunnel wall, and with one of the oars they managed to wedge e end fairly tight for against the rock that was sticking out to the side, and the tither end tight up along the ladders so it wouldn't budge back or fore. Just with that, they heard mere commotion further up by, and they could see light for the men's blinky getting closer to them. They were free, heading down to them, and they were shifting fast. Come on, Carl, Malcolm said, pecking, his voice a lot louder now that they were getting nearer. Let's get those torags before they find it. Hey, you, don't move. We know what you're looking for and it's ours, so you can get out now in one piece or you can try to get out after we've got our hands on you. Oh, yeah? George roared back. Will I doot your hour lit, boys, for we're already found what you're looking for and I think you'll find it's worse. What did he say? Carl said. Listen, you better be fast runners, you two idiots. They were getting nearer to where the ladders was blocking the tunnel, and time was running out. The boys didn't ken full lang it would take them to break down their barricade, but they didn't want to hang around to find out. Come on, Robbie said, disappearing into the pretty room where the kist was. We don't hae lang. George scouted over his shoulder and talked to ging and help Robbie, but the twa men was wind to the ladders now and was starting to haul, trying to clear their way. They slipped their blinky and it got out. but George was gripped the other oar off of the floor and had it sticking through the gaps between the rungs of the ladder, trying to shove the man away, or at least make it more awkward for him. He felt the oar bring up in something soft, so he gave a great muggle push and can't be the feel of it, and the oobs coming from the other end of it, that he was carried him off of his feet. "Ah, you'll pay for this, you little reptiles," he said. "Come on, where's that torch?" They scuttered about and eventually got their blinky on again, but by this time Robbie was gotten the kist, dragged out of the peery room, and was hauling it down the tunnel to the edge of the hall of the cave. George saw what he was doing and roared after him. "I'll be with you in a minute," he said, still shivering with the oar. He could feel in of the men trying to grab the blade out and haul it for him, but George had ower good a grip on it, and the blade wasn't easy to yoke. The hum had felt like a full fleet of mackerel up in a line, but he kept it pushing away and seemed to be stopping them from winning to the ladders. George was trying to work with foo he was going to leave his post Langenjoch to ging and gie Robbie a hand to get the kist done, when fate played into their hands. The men slipped their blunky again, and this time they would have soon the glass bracken and the light good out. They were in complete darkness. "Oh, I don't believe it, you idiot," he heard one of them say. "Where's the other torch?" With the men new in darkness, George grabbed his chance. He trivelled about for the other oar, lifted them both up and set off down the tunnel upon his hookers, dragging the oars behind them. As he came round the corner, he saw the light of Robbie's blinky ahead. "Robbie," he spraked, "quick, we hae a bit of time. The men have slipped their blinky and broken it." He managed to catch up to Robbie, for he was one a good piece down the tunnel, dragging and shivering the kist, and was now only about 12 feet for the opening down to the beach. George helped him the last bitty bit, and they picked up the tail of the rope that they were early treated through the iron ring of the roof. "Kirsty," Robbie roared for a boon, "is you there?" He heard her light footsteps upon the shingle, and she came into view below them, looking up with a fair look upon her face. "What's happening, boys?" she asked. "What's come of the men?" "They're stuck at the tunnel with nae light. We jammed them in. Listen, we're going to lower the kist down, say, watch out, then we'll hit a jump down onto the beach." George was made a bite to the rope and got it passed round the kist both ways and tied off tap it tight at the top. The twa boys took the rope between them and hauled in the slack. Then, taking the weight of the kist, they let it slide out over the edge, then lowered it pretty wide. After a start, they felt the rope gian slack, and Kirsty spake up to say that it was up at the beach. She started to untie it. "Okay, George, dost thou want to ging first?" Robbie asked. They are both sitting up at the edge, with their feet swinging down the hall. "I'll pass the oars down to thee when the wind's down." Just as George was shivering himself off the drop down to the shingle, they heard the sounds of the men in the tunnel roaring at them and getting closer and closer. "Quick," Robbie said, "go do." And with a push, George was down, yan in a bit of a brook, but getting to his foot right away and turning to catch the oars that Robbie was passing down. But it was over late. They both fell with a clatter of wood and the scrape of shingle. George got them clear for Robbie to jump. Just as he straightened his arms to jump down the hall, Robbie looked at the hantam at a glure. He saw in of the men, his bursy head and glaring in, his twa muckle hands outstretched, ready to yoke him. As he drapped down the hall to the beach below, he felt the man's hand upon his shoulder, getting a knife over his jacket, and then he was free, fan for what seemed like a long time afore he landed and tumbled over onto the shingle. He was made it, and just at a nick of time,